Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And if you thought the Hindenburg was a disaster... Too soon, fellas? Too soon.
It's always too soon.
This is Wretched Radio. If you can't help but slow down and gawk at an accident that happened on the side of the road, if you're one of those people who love the news that's filled with all kinds of catastrophes, welcome to a Wretched Radio segment built just for you. This could be a total disaster. How often have you heard a preacher rightly say you need to have your mind transformed by saturating your noggin with the Bible? I hope you've heard that many times. Bible, 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 Bible. What's your issue? Bible got the solution. What's your problem? The Bible has comfort. The Bible has everything for life and godliness. And all of God's people say, amen to that. Now you get home. And you look at your Bible, and perhaps you do this, which is a bad sign. You go, you have to dust it off a little bit. Yeah. Remember what Charles Spurgeon said? Some of you have so much dust on your Bible, you can write the word damnation with your finger. So you dust off your Bible, you look at it, perhaps you do the old let it fall open routine. So I'm just... Okay, my Bible just fell over. Totally. All right, here we go.
So wow, what's the state of your soul?
I've got to... Okay, and Proverbs 10. So I dive into Proverbs 10, and I kind of grind my way through it. The Proverbs, they can be a little bit tricky to understand, but you lose interest soon, and the next thing you know, you just let it collect more dust. What could you do to perhaps excite your Bible reading? I would like to volunteer, man, this is going to be a mess, just to perhaps demonstrate how exciting it can be to read the Bible. There's a lot of different ways to slice this egg. Okay, my kitchen metaphors, they're not so good. Onion, but I didn't want to call the Bible an onion. That didn't seem to, but
I've
it will make
eggs.
You cry, so it does have that in common. The point is, there's a lot of different ways to do this. I would like to encourage if you struggle to read your Bible regularly and enjoy it, figure out a way to do it that it makes it exciting for you. Now, look, it's exciting all by itself, and increasingly, you will struggle with it less and less the more and more you get into it. But right now, perhaps you're a little challenged with getting into it. There are a lot of different ways to go about reading your Bible in a way that causes you to go, I'm looking forward to this. I really want to get to this. Let me suggest the place to begin is reconnaissance on yourself. Study yourself. How do you learn? How do you read? What's your timing during the day? When can you be alone so you don't get distracted? How can you... Now, look, that might be everything from I'm going to get up a half an hour earlier every day to read before the rest of the family starts stirring. That's my quiet time. Okay, cool. Good on you. Not good on me. I prefer nighttime. That's just when I prefer it. And it's not a sin to do it at that time. Somebody might struggle to just plain read the Bible. All right, you've got to commute. You've got to drive. Listen to it on the cassette tape. That's right. I just said cassette tape. Could have been more dated. Could have said 8-track. Could have said reel-to-reel. Could have said you're 33 and a third or you're 78. But no, I chose cassette because that's the era I grew up. Whatever. It's okay. But just get into it, because if you don't get into it, you're not going to grow. You're not going to change. The Bible is fertilizer. It is the thing, the only ordained thing that God has given to us to grow us. You say, well, what about baptism and the Lord's Supper? They aren't mystical bibbidi-bobbidi-boo events. They are physical pictures of a spiritual reality that Jesus Christ died for sinners, that Jesus Christ was buried, that Jesus Christ rose, that I am dead to sin. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. I'm raised to new life in Christ. Now, when I eat this meal, I'm reminded of what he has done for me. It's all about the word and truth and getting it into your brain. By the way, speaking of baptism, listen to a really succinct presentation on the subject from Alistair Begg. My buddy Ludie Creech in Ireland, we were chatting about his baptism. Should baptism be a requirement for entrance into the church? Should baptism be administered before you can start taking Lord's Supper? And look, this is not an issue that should cause you to think, well, my church is apostate, if you disagree with what Alistair Begg said. But he made a powerful case that baptism is not a part of salvation, but in a sense it's connected to salvation. Why? Because what you see in the book of Acts is demonstration after demonstration after demonstration of Jesus Christ's command before he left the planet. Make disciples, baptize. So what do you see in the book of Acts? They believe they were baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch. All right, where's the water? Got it. Got to be obedient. Now, does it get you saved? No, it does not get you saved. Does it do anything beyond demonstrate a picture in obedience? No, but that doesn't mean it's irrelevant. That doesn't mean that there isn't power in it, in that when you witness it happening and you're reminded of what it pictures, well, that's what feeds us, because those are the means of grace. The word of God, whether it is demonstrated to us in a visual picture, meaning the ordinances or preaching or fellowship talking about the Lord or prayer, all centered on the word, that is what will grow you. So Alistair Begg said, what we see in the book of Acts, salvation, then somebody gets baptized, doesn't contribute to their baptism, but it is the sign that they have been saved. Then they become a member of the church. Then they take the ordinances of Lord's Supper. That's the order. It's you can't argue with it. You just see it over and over and over and over again. And it would have been unthinkable in the early church for somebody to be taking communion or become a member of the body who hadn't been obedient to Jesus' first commandment to get baptized. And it seems to me, I'm sticking with this observation, we have been putting less and less emphasis on baptism than we ever had in that I remember it being a part of evangelical Christianity. It's just not discussed much. Or we only do it when we fill up the jacuzzi. And furthermore, you might say, well, he was being kind of a legalist. Well, he wasn't being a legalist. He was stating what he believed was the best ideal way to do this. And it is not to get baptized away from the church body. That doesn't mean that the church can't gather in the backyard when somebody's pool. But to do it without the church present is to miss the picture of what it is and what it does. And that it was the first step in becoming a member of a body. Why would you do it separate? Furthermore, you can't baptize yourself. Why not? Well, because it's a picture and it's for the edification of the church and it's a demonstration. I'm making a public profession of the statement of faith that I believe in Jesus Christ. I am willing to die with him. My life is crucified with Christ. Oh, and he did some alliteration. Okay, quiz time for me. Baptism, it symbolizes consecration, communion. No, the consummation is at the end when we're going to be ultimately in heaven. So it's communion with Christ. It's commitment to Christ. And there's another C. Well, okay, I got a 75%. That passes these days. Baptism is a big deal. If you haven't been baptized and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being disobedient. Get baptized in your local church. That's the picture that we see laid out for us over and over again in the book of Acts. Having said all of that, would like to demonstrate now how you can read your Bible in a way that just causes you to go, oh, let's get to it. Tony, here's one way we can do this. This is going to be a mess. Give me a subject. Give me a subject that is theological. It has to do with life. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with just about anything. Go ahead.
Chastity.
I don't think that Cher's children have anything to do.
No, I was thinking more of the Super Bowl halftime show again.
I see. There was no chastity. There is
none.
My understanding. Sorry. Not trying to sound like a Pharisee, but...
I actually watched kittens play football for about 20 minutes.
Wow, it's got the word chastity. All right, you've got the word... Wow! So here's what I did, and this might be kind of something that ignites your Bible study. Think of a subject. All right, I'm looking at some other subjects here. For instance, candlesticks. You want... No, that's probably not a good one. Caves. No, that's not a good one. Character of the saints. There you go. And what does it list in the back of my MacArthur Study Bible? All of the verses. Well, not all of them. There's more. But the character of the saints verses are listed because it's a topical concordance. And I'm looking at chastity. Chastity is commanded, Exodus 20:14, Proverbs 31:3, Acts 15:20, Romans 13:13, Colossians 3:5, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It's required in look, it's required in heart, it's required in speech. Keep the body in chastity, preserved by wisdom. Saints are kept in wisdom. Advantages of chastity, shun those devoid of chastity. The wicked are devoid of chastity. What am I doing? I'm reading. There's more. There's much more here. And then I go and I read all of those verses, and suddenly I know everything about chastity. More Bible study next on Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed with the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she is a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Is there someone in your life you fear is a false convert? Would you like to know more about true and false conversion? Then you want Are You a Rotten Fish? It is the perfect gospel booklet for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is a thorough presentation of true and false conversions. In other words, it's the difference between good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels, and the correct response, repent and trust, versus all the incorrect responses, you know, things like asking Jesus into your heart. So get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish. So if you're not absolutely certain you're a good fish, or you know some rotten fish and you'd like to figure out why they aren't good fish, get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish? wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the promised land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how he rescued them from Egypt, what he commands in his law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking his law. God is faithful to provide the inheritance he has promised to his children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Having a hard time reading your Bible, are you? This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps it is time to do some reconnaissance on yourself, figure out what works for you so that you can excitedly read the book that will change you, that will grow you, that will comfort you, that will grow you in wisdom, that will help you to raise your kids better. It is the book that has power. And if you're struggling to read it, perhaps today is the day you start doing reconnaissance on yourself and figuring out a strategy that works for you. Shared with you the first one, that you just go to your topical concordance. I've got a MacArthur Study Bible. And in the back, it has a concordance. It's a limited concordance, but it also has a topical concordance. I can go look up a subject, and then it shares all of the verses on that subject. And it even gives me a description of it. I can then go look up all of those verses, but don't stop there. Let's just say, you wanted chastity, right?
Yeah.
Babe, I got you, babe.
Bono.
That kind of chastity. No, this is...
That's
all right,
Chaz so now.
Ah, so it's chastity is what this would be. I'm going to go find a, verse, all right? So it's required in the saints, advantages of chastity, all right? 1 Peter 3:1-2. So now I'm going to 1 Peter 3:1-2, and I'm going to read these verses. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, the husbands, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Don't let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I'll tell you something. That's going to preach right there. If you're unequally yoked, whether you're a male or a female, this verse applies to you. Don't be worried about externals. Grow the internals. Let them see how amazing Jesus is by your new behavior so that they ask about the hope that lies within you. That's the context of all of this in 1 Peter. It's so that they might see your behavior and want to know who your Savior is. That's a comforting verse for you if you are unequally yoked. Furthermore, this verse tells me what's valuable in the eyes of God. So if I don't have all of these external things, I don't have the baubles, I don't have the good looks, I don't have the physique, I don't have the curves. Oh, God doesn't care. So you read this verse and you discover so many truths just by reading it, maybe spending a moment with it. And then as you made your way through here, it says, for instance, wives likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Huh, submissive? That sounds really awful. I don't think Gloria Feinstein, what's it, Gloria Allred?
Steinem?
That too. Would appreciate, well, I think she got married for a time and it was Feinstein and then it's Steinem. It's a hyphen name. What is this submissive all about? So right in front of the word submissive, it has a little tiny letter A. So now I go to all of that little fine print on the side where it says chapter 3, verse 1. Letter A, Genesis 3:16. 1 Corinthians 14:34, Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18. Huh, you mean all those verses are going to talk about the word submissive so that I can understand, hey, I think I'm going to go down a rabbit trail. And then you go looking up all of those verses because you got taken away from chastity for a moment and you study the word submissive. That's what those little notes are for on the side of your page. And let it go, man. Fly with it. Go, because that works for you. It's okay. You can become more disciplined in it later if you choose to, or you're doing a Bible study, or you're studying for a paper, or you're preparing a sermon or a Bible lesson. But it's okay. If you got ADHD, like, well, I don't want to point fingers at myself because I'd be triggered by me. It's okay. Go with it. Go and let it be exciting and learn stuff about God and learn stuff about Word. And the next thing you know, man, you're going to be flying through the pages. Your Bible is quickly on the outside going to get dirty and stinky and used, and you're going to grow. It's okay to read your Bible that way. Here's another way to do it. Use the other concordance. Grab another word from you know what I want to study in the Bible? I want to study rain. I hear a lot about rain. I hear about the rain falling down. I hear it in songs a lot these days. Oh, let the rains fall on me. Let the rain fall down.
I personally like to bless the rains, particularly in Africa.
I bet that's been sung in church because it has the word bless in it. And it's got the word rain. So I went to my concordance.
So dancing
would
be out then?
I'm going to study everything that I can about rain. Well, let me tell you. There are a ton of verses that you can go look up. Here's what my concordance says. Or is this, wait a second, is that my regular concordance or is this still my, it gives the description here. Occasioned by the condescending of the clouds, and it gives the verses. God made a decree for rain. God prepares rain. God gives rain. God causes the rain to come down. Exhibits goodness in giving, exhibits greatness in giving, sends upon the evil and the good, should be praised for the rain. God should be feared on account of the rain. The impotence of idols exhibited in not being able to give rain. Okay, I could keep going. You get the point. You just did a study. Now you're an expert on the word rain. Now you probably want to pick something that, here's rebellion against God. Ooh, my kid's a rebel. Let's see what I can go learn about my kid. And you can go study your kid by doing a word study. Get on it and go with it. And if you get distracted following something else, fine. Go ahead. Go out into the bushes. It's a beautiful harvest field there too. And then get back to your word study. That might be just what you need to get you going and more familiarized with your Bible. Here's another way you can do it. I've recommended this about 8 gazillion times. Get a MacArthur Study Bible because I found it to be the most helpful with challenging verses. What are they saying in that? I don't get that. And then you go underneath it to read the foot. You're stuck in a verse. You just go read the footnote. All right, so here, I'm reading. I just open it up. 2 Thessalonians 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. What's that talking about? I go down below the word suffer, and it explains the word suffer, and it gives me a bunch of Bible verses, and I can go follow those around too. Read the New Testament one book at a time, in any order, at your own pace, but read every single footnote as you go. When you're done, you'll be smarter than most pastors in this country. There's an offer you can't refuse. And then you've got a goal, and you've got a plan for reading it. That's another thing you can do to read your Bible. You could do the Bible reading plan in a year. Look, you do that. That doesn't work for me. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not immediate enough for me, and it makes me feel like I got to get it done, and then I got to read it because I'm a chapter behind. Now I got to read 4 chapters today to make up because I only read 3 chapters yesterday, and I got to. It just doesn't work for you. If it works for you, that's my point. If it works for you, then do it. Here's another way that you can read your Bible that has a plan. Read through, in particular, the Gospels and the Epistles, and look for themes. Look for even words if you would like to. For instance, start circling stuff in your Bible. Read the book of Colossians and look for the word all. You're going to be shocked at this word. We give thanks to our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up before you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth in the gospel, which has come upon you. It has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit since the day you heard and knew the truth. And the word all, I think in the first chapter, I think it appears about 20 times over and over. Okay, wait, hold on. What's he trying to say here? What's this all about? Now, it might be worth something and it might not be worth anything. But look at how it's like, now I'm on kind of a hunt here. I've got a little mystery. I want to read the next verse. Where's my word all here? And when I'm just looking at the page and I'm seeing the word pop out all the time, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so you may walk worthy of the Lord. So I'm reading it, looking for words. I'm reading it, looking for themes. That's another way to read your Bible. Look for, get a notebook if you like, and when you read on a theology, write it down underneath a heading. You know what you're doing? Systematic theology. So write down Holy Spirit, write down sanctification, write down God, write down Jesus, write down sin. Whenever you run into a verse or a thought, go write it down in underneath that category, and you suddenly you're becoming a systematic theologian. Those are just some of the ways that you can come up with kind of a, yeah, that works for me. I'm digging that because it's given me a goal and it's giving me something exciting about. So pick something in your life. Do reconnaissance. What's driving you bonkers these days? Are you anxious? Go use your concordant. Look up the word troubled. Look up the word anxiety. Go study it. Go read everything that Jesus had to say about it. Read all the Psalms of comfort for the anxious psalmist. You think that's going to help? I do. You've got a naughty child. Read about rebellious children. Read about sin that's bound up in the heart. And read about the method that parents are supposed to employ to get it out of there. And you'll have something. My marriage, it's struggling. Romance, honesty, whatever. We don't have those talks anymore. Go read Song of Solomon. Go read the stuff on marriage and intimacy and how to get it. Because it will excite you to do so, because you're going to get something out of it. And it's going to help you read the word and apply the word and grow. This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A 20-year-old terror convict identified as Sadesh Aman put a fake bomb on and attacked two people on a busy London street Sunday before officers shot him dead. The two stabbing victims and a third person injured by flying glass are all listed in stable condition today. Aman recently got out of prison for publishing terror videos online and gathering information on bomb-making and knife attacks. He had been sentenced to more than 3 years in prison in November of 2018. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the government is going to introduce legislation to end the early release of terror convicts. Probably an idea they might have wanted to have a little earlier. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP, released a video taking responsibility for the December attack at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida. Saudi Second Lieutenant Mohammed Saeed Al-Shrami killed three people when he opened fire inside a classroom on the base December 6th. The Yemen branch of Al-Qaeda has long been considered the most dangerous of the terrorist organization. The 18-minute video reported by the Site Intelligence Group did not contain evidence that AQAP trained Al-Shrami, but it did indicate he communicated with them, said Rita Katz, the director of Site. The naval student from Saudi Arabia had been planning to attack a U.S. base for years, according to the video. I see the city of Edinburgh has canceled a Christian conference after complaints that Larry Stockstill, a preacher from Louisiana, would be the keynote speaker. According to Premier Christian News, Stockstill, a preacher, author, and pastor's mentor who also runs the church planting network Surge Project, was supposed to speak at the Surge conference in June 2020. The conference meant to help churches learn ways to grow. Stockstill's keynote address was titled "The Purpose and Privilege of Pastoring." Edinburgh received complaints about Stockstill, who has described same-sex relationships as offensive, repulsive, and deeply grievous. Stockstill preaches at Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The group heading the conference, Destiny Ministries and Destiny Church Glasgow, will need to find another location for the conference if the group wants Stockstill to preach. In 2018, the Church of Scotland had banned Destiny Ministries from using its buildings because of the group's fundamentalist doctrines. The cancellation comes just days after Franklin Graham was banned from the arena and conference center, Liverpool ACC. They said Graham's scheduled stop on his UK tour was making a divisive impact on the city. He was scheduled to speak on June the 12th. In an opinion piece for Christian Today, blogger David Robertson wrote that he is worried about the freedom of preachers to speak. The implications of this are profound, he wrote. If you're a church that actually believes the Bible and follows Jesus, the progressive mob will ensure that you are hounded out of any public premises. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So there you are, being the compassionate, considerate, tender-hearted Christian that you are, when you hear about the need of a brother or sister who's struggling, what is the tender-hearted question that you ask?
What's wrong with you? Get over it.
What might be another question that you would ask? Honestly, man, do you have a heart of stone in there?
You know what? People never come to me, so I don't know how the, for some reason.
Well, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I might be able to sleuth this one for you. No! You say, how can I help? What can I do for you? Inevitably, they will say, well, just prayer. And that's cool. Believe me, that's plenty cool. Rarely do people express their need for us to be able to fulfill it, except for right now. Headline: persecuted even after death, China bans Christians from holding religious funerals. So here's the deal. In China, the communists, they persecute Christians. They put them in jail. Sometimes they actually take their organs out of them while they're alive to sell them on the black market. Yeah. Or they put them in labor camps. Mm-hmm. Where they work to death, they die, their families can't even give them a religious funeral. Now, I would call that persecution, and our response should be, hey, brothers, hey, sisters, how can I help? They have an answer. Yes, they want you to pray for them, but they have a tangible thing that you and I can do to help them. They would say to your tender-hearted Christian question, how can I help you in your persecution? They would say, a Bible? Could you send a Bible? We'd love to be able to read the Bible. We'd love to be able to do word searches. We'd love to be able to read through it on subjects so that we can know how to live better and love Jesus more and do a better job with training up our children. Could you send a Bible? They're asking for them, and we can. This is a tangible expression of the love of the church. You read through 2 Corinthians and you go, wow, look at that church. What was the church that was the poor church that couldn't afford to be giving to the persecuted saints in Jerusalem? They did. We look at that and we go, wow, that was really cool. $5 a Bible. We can be helping a persecuted body of believers overseas. And it is not just China. If you would please consider sending Bibles to our persecuted brothers and sisters, wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. It'll be our landing page for Bible League International, a ministry that's been around longer than we have. And we've been around for forever, it feels like some days. Oy, my sciatica. Bible League, it is a reputable ministry, $5 a Bible into the hands of a persecuted believer overseas. Wretched.org/Bible. Want more details, by the way, on this persecuted even after death story? Under the new rules, quote, clerical personnel are not allowed to participate in funerals. Well, isn't that special? And no more than 10 family members of the deceased are allowed to read scriptures or sing hymns. In a low voice. Well, a lot of churches already do sing in a low voice, so that might not be a problem for some, but that's not the point, is it? They are being clamped down on. The new rules aim to get rid of bad funeral customs and establish a scientific, civilized, and economical way of funerals. That's wicked. That is a lack of freedom. Oh, I wish our kids understood that better in this country, what they take for granted. Oofta. that it's good to be able to walk out of your house and do pretty much whatever you want to do as long as you're not hurting somebody in this country. You can have a funeral. You can cremate. You can believe whatever you want to. You used to be able to say whatever you felt. Not so much anymore. The beauty of freedom, these people, it is so restricted. This is from the province of Henan. The local government convened a meeting for religious work assistance in April, informing them all religious funerals are restricted. Soon after, officials issued a document stipulating that clerical personnel should be timely stopped from using religion to intervene in citizens' weddings, funerals, or other activities in their lives. Counting your blessings yet? Western Church in Wuhan, police stormed the funeral of a Christian member of a government-regulated three-self church and arrested her daughter. Now, this is a government-sanctioned church.
Care anymore.
Daughter was praying for her mother at the time. The daughter was only released after the deceased was buried without Christian rituals 2 days later. Well, isn't that loving? And it's happening all over the globe. Signs of persecution. Here's another one. Now, this is not being told you can't have a funeral, but these are signs, a reminder. Chinese DNA, no different than British DNA, no different than American, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, all the same. You are either in Christ or in Adam. And Adam loves to go against Christ and war against him and his children. Franklin Graham, apparently having a hard time finding a venue to do a gig over there in Great Britain. The ACC Liverpool group, based in Liverpool, announced that they were no longer going to hold the Graham Tour UK event as previously planned. Over the past few days... Okay, that was supposed to be a British accent.
More like Thurston Howell.
I've got it. Who could I channel here? I can't do a British accent. Over the last few days, we're going to have... I'm Peter Noon. Over the last few days, got a lovely daughter. Over the last few days, we've been made aware of a number of statements which we consider to be incompatible with our values. Can you hear the sound of British radios clicking right now?
I hear more Australia.
All radios clicking off.
In light of this, we can no longer reconcile this. This is so obvious. It used to be kind of funny in the beginning. It's just ridiculous now. In light of this, we can no longer reconcile the balance between freedom of speech and the divisive impact this event is having in our city. We've informed the organizers of the event that it'll no longer be fulfilled, claiming we are proud to represent all communities. Well, except Franklin Graham's community.
We don't want that one.
Send Bibles to your brothers and sisters overseas at wretched.org. Did you see that video? I don't know who the group was. It was clean. It was actually very clean. They did talk about what a child does in a potty, but nevertheless, it was clean. It was this troupe that does comedy skits on the YouTube machine. They're in an office and they're talking to one another about their kids. And it's all about how the kids have made decisions and now the families are responding to it because, of course, you listen to what your three-year-old says.
They run the family now.
One of the guys comes walking in and he's crying. What's the matter, Bill? We're getting divorced. My wife is divorcing me. Oh, so sorry to hear that. What happened, Bill? We haven't fought in years. I mean, we love each other, but my son, when I told him that he couldn't have more candy, he said, "Don't like daddy." So my wife is divorcing me because he doesn't like me anymore. On and on and on. And the one that had the borderline crude, but it wasn't. My child, another adult in the room said, "My child has decided not going to use the toilet anymore because he doesn't like it. So we're just letting him go wherever he wants to." Oh, he's just expressing himself so much. You see where this is going? And then a 6-year-old comes walking into the break room wearing a suit and tie, and all of the adults go rushing to this little 6-year-old. "Hey, I need a signature on. Could you please make a decision on? because we're letting children make decisions about things that they shouldn't be deciding.
Is that actually satire anymore?
You know what? That's what I thought. It's like, you know, it's really not parody. It should be, but it's not. We're letting children make these decisions about their gender. That's what this was aimed at. I think it was at the Daily. Maybe we'll find that. We'll play that next if we can find that. It was brutal satire, and it was exactly spot on, but I couldn't help but think, that's really not so satirical anymore. That is precisely what we're doing. And this is happening to our children. We're letting them make decisions? And then we're so inconsistent with them, aren't we? Then we indoctrinate them with things about sexual. I've got a pile of stories here about different schools that are teaching our kids what they're doing up in New Jersey. And I know. This was in Great Britain, too. The curriculum was, Bobby, no, I'll do it. I'll do it with you, Tony. Tony,
yes.
This is my British accent again. Do you have a best friend?
I do.
Oh, who's your best friend, Tony?
Steve.
So you and Steve are gay. Isn't that nice, children? You see, that's what gay is. So if you've got a best friend, you're gay too.
Question in the back. Thank you. What? That was my question.
What? Now, talk about cruel. So any poor kid who wants to just have a buddy, any act of friendship will be translated as being gay. Well, there go friendships for children. What a world. What a world. And there's nothing different about the DNA in any other part of the country than there is where you live. Don't think we're beyond persecution. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Would you prayerfully consider today partnering with Wretched to save the lost? Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of people just like you. We call them gospel partners, and they let us, well, do the things we do. The radio, the TV, the internet, the resources, all because of the generosity and faithful giving of our gospel partners. Would you consider becoming a gospel partner? Because the more you give, the more we're able to give away. Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. And yes, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so all gifts are tax deductible, and we are members in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. In other words, we got folks watching, so we don't waste your money. Become a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
No doubt, if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this, but then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched, $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
So it's a Saturday night. There you are on your computer and you decide, I'm going to watch a video of John MacArthur. And then the very next thing you know, you've been up for 3 hours deep into YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Yeah, we've all been there. Well, instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit wretched.org. You'll find hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. And Wretched's hour-long radio programs, posted every day, they tackle the tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web and watching baby giraffes trying to stand up, why not head on over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. wretched. Amazing grace.
Important dates in Christian history. 312 AD. Emperor Constantine is converted after seeing a vision of the cross. He becomes a defender and advocate of the oppressed Christians. After his death, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, which endured in some form for another 1,500 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The cutting edge Wretched Radio.
Huh?
Right there, baby. Right on the sharp line of current events and really funny satirical videos on the internet. This is from We the Internet TV. I'm surprised it's still on. In fact, this video, I was shown this video a couple of days ago. I sent it. I forwarded the link to a couple of friends. One of them, okay, I call him a friend. I don't think it's vice versa. Tim Challies. And Challies' response upon watching it was, I'm surprised that they haven't taken this down. I wonder if that isn't more of a Canadian attitude than an American attitude.
No.
Nevertheless, I think we're catching
up. It's a YouTube attitude.
It is a YouTube attitude, but I thought it was interesting that that was that Canadian's response. Canadians. That is the proper Canadian accent, right?
You are just trying to ostracize all of our listeners.
The master.
He's already ostracized both of them.
Impersonator or something like that. This is like this does have a word in it. I don't think it's a word that any of us have not used with our children. And so I think it's on the safe side. This is satire, or is it? The scene, it's an office, it's the break room. A guy is sitting there, and a fellow walks in to join him.
Hey, Bill, how was your weekend?
Just watched a lot of football. You?
Found out my son's actually a girl.
What?
Yeah, we're all hanging out on the couch watching Netflix together, and Tommy turns to Sarah and me and says, I'm a girl now.
Wow.
Yeah, I had no idea, but who am I to question my three-year-old child, right?
Yeah. You're just his parent.
Well, it's not actually his.
Right. Sorry, her.
What?
You're just her parent. Or is there another preferred pronoun? Never heard that before.
Yeah, me neither. Learn something new every day, right?
So did, start kindergarten yet?
Oh, no. Said, no school. Also, we're starting on hormone blockers next week, so don't really have a lot of free time.
Hey, that's parenthood.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, you have a daughter, right?
Yeah, my youngest is a girl.
Any advice?
Raising a girl's a trip. You have to be ready for anything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like just yesterday, I found out she doesn't need to poop in the toilet anymore.
Really?
Yeah, she just finished potty training last month, but apparently she just feels better doing it in her pants.
Wow. Jealous.
Guys, my son's an astronaut.
No way. Congrats.
Way to go, Martha.
Thanks. It's all happening so fast.
Yesterday, I went into his room to wake him up from his nap, and I found him sitting on the edge of his bed with his Buzz Lightyear helmet on, screaming, I'm an astronaut! I'm an astronaut!
What an accomplishment.
So what happens now?
We launch him into space.
Really?
You think so? I mean, we haven't heard back from NASA, but he says, I go to the moons tomorrow!
Whoa. The moons.
Kids grow up so fast these days.
Tell me about it. One minute I'm spoon-feeding my 10-month-old applesauce. The next minute, he doesn't need my help.
Your 10-month-old is eating on his own?
No. My 10-month-old doesn't need food anymore.
Really?
Yeah. He just says, I don't want it, and then crawls away.
Doesn't need to eat food. That's so advanced.
Hey, kids are just more mature now.
Hmm. Hey, Todd. You okay?
Yes, sorry, had a rough night. I'm getting divorced.
I'm so sorry. Why?
My toddler?
Little Jimmy.
Yeah, little Jimmy. Tells my wife, I no likes dad.
Oh, tough break.
We thought we were so happy. We haven't fought in years. But what are you gonna do? He just finished teething. He knows best.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You should be right.
This is the 6-year-old kid in a suit and tie coming into the break room.
Do right. I'm the boss.
Yes, sir, boss.
Sorry, boss.
You should be right. I'm the boss. Right for the boss.
Need your approval on this, boss?
Here's the update on the Linden report.
This needs your signature.
I'm laughing, and yet somehow I'm not laughing so much because we're living in an era where satire isn't so satirical anymore. That's pretty much the way that it is these days. We are letting children make decisions. Machine over there.
What?
I can't hear you. My ears are ringing.
Don't worry. You're listening to Radio Professionals, at least the most professional radio program on this station at this time. We've got some political news updates for you right now. Wow. How's about Elizabeth Warren claiming that if she is president of the United States, she will make sure that a child actually interviews the Secretary of Education. And who's going to do the interviewing? This child, who's also a transgender child, so that we make sure that the person who's leading our children in educational decisions affirms transgenderism.
You know, if I was part of the Satirists Union,
yeah,
I would be offended by these people.
What
else is left?
But she's
that's
she's,
a Saturday Night Live skit 10 years ago.
I know. She's actually saying, I'm going to have a child on my behalf interview the nominee for Secretary of Education, and only if the child is transgender to tell me if that should be the Secretary of Education. Forget having any sort of, you know, qualifications, as long as they're transgender affirming, as affirmed by a child. More on Elizabeth Warren. States should focus on funding public schools.
Wait, say that again. Say that again slower.
Elizabeth Warren, political news?
No, the word before that, the two words before that.
President Elizabeth Warren.
More on.
Now,
Freudian slip that worked. Sorry.
Apparently.
Sorry, I'm just going to sit back here.
States should focus on funding public schools, not private ones, said she, especially not ones that maintain anti-LGBTQ policies. We must ensure every kid, especially LGBTQ plus kids, that they can get high-quality public education. Because they can't now, you know. Because all of those Christian teachers.
We have gaydars outside the doors,
kids,
right?
Transgenderism. Unbelievable. She vows to fill her cabinet with women and non-binary people. Again, qualifications, not so much. What is this, identity politics? Anybody? Would you like to know this is at least a part of the definition? This is affirmative action. Forget identity politics. This is affirmative action. You're being hired because you're non-binary. Whatever that means. More political news for you, gentlemen. We got it right here. Wait
a
second.
No, would it matter?
No, it wouldn't make any difference. But we do need to do this, though, before each one.
Ladies and gentlemen, to describe it,
oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
President Trump, you got to get whipped up. You see, we got to get you really excited and agitated about stuff. The Pope compares President Trump to King Herod, who slaughtered baby boys during the time of Christ. This is neither a defense of or a denunciation of our current president, but it sure is a poke at the interpretive skills of the Pontiff of Rome. Really? Really? On a recent visit to Buddhists in Thailand, Pope Francis addressed the issue of refugees, comparing the policy of building walls and detention centers to the acts of King Herod. You mean who slaughtered two-year-old children? And
that one, them? Yeah.
Okay. No. All right. Quote, there are walls that even separate children from parents. You know, I've been to the Vatican, and I've seen the wall around that city. I'm just saying, and there's times that they close that wall, and they've got guards there, and you can't just walk in anytime you want.
So does he want us to put kids in federal prisons with their parents?
I don't know. Herod comes to mind, he said, yet for drugs, there's no wall to keep them out. So apparently comparing our president with Herod.
Not there's a reason.
A really fair comparison. Are we all excited and agitated yet? Well, hang in there. We'll get you whipped up and furious. What are the Democratic presidential candidates' religions? Knock me over with a feather. Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana, who's married to Chasten Glesman at the Cathedral of St. James. Listen, listen, listen. Can you hear the relics of James spinning in their grave like a lathe? That's right. He's an Episcopalian, is what he is. Amy Klobuchar is a Congregationalist, a member of the United Church of Christ, and her husband is Roman Catholic. United Church of Christ. Got the uni rule right there. If it's got the letters U and I in a row, you're talking liberal. It's a pretty good rule. Bernie Sanders is, well, Jewish without actually practicing it. So you can just identify as Jewish. I'm Jewish. I'm proud to be Jewish. I was bar mitzvahed, but I'm not actively involved in organized religion. Well, then you're not really Jewish. Joe Biden is Roman Catholic, even though he can't take communion in some churches. Elizabeth Warren, she is a Methodist. Tom Steyer, Episcopalian. Michael Bloomberg, he's nothing. Andrew Yang calls himself a progressive Christian. Very progressive. And Tulsi Gabbard is a Hindu. Oh, man.
Why is it the Hindu is the most even of the bunch? That's just frightening.
I don't know, but I do know this.
There's more?
Furious, I love it!
Film at 11.
You better be downright angry! Until tomorrow, go serve your king.